My grandpa had a pretty average childhood for a kid growing up in the 40s. He went to a rural school, he lived on a farm. So what was his first major obstacle? In a way, it was himself. He hated school.
I didn't have a lot of interest in studying when I was in high school. I graduated very low in my class, and chances of going to college after my grade point average was added up was very low.
Without many other options, he joined the military. He became something called an EOD, or Explosive Ordnance Disposal, and he studied engineering.
They taught me how to study, and during the next 4 years, I had to study every day. And during that time, I learned that studying wasn't such a bad thing after all. The Air Force was all discipline, and my high school years was totally without discipline. I lived with my aunt and uncle. They loved me very much, but they weren't... they weren't very strict as far as disciplining me to do the things that they knew I should do. But then when I got into the Air Force, immediately I learned that you had to do what you were told to do and you had to do it in an expedient manner, and that there was no excuse accepted, that you had to carry out your instructions, and you were required to study, you were required to learn and pass tests. And if you didn't pass the test, then you repeated the program until you did pass the test. And I didn't want to do that, so I studied hard and applied myself.
After he left the Air Force, he wanted to go back to college. So he applies to the University of Florida and was denied. After 4 more years of community college, he applies again and gets in and studies engineering.
So I think that shows that, you know, just because you didn't apply yourself at a time when you should have, you can overcome it. I wouldn't recommend that path, but it definitely shows that you can overcome those boundaries that are placed before you due to your own foolishness.
Now, before we continue with the story, I'll have him explain what he did in the Air Force, because in my opinion, it's pretty cool. He got around a lot and learned plenty, but in all that time, he was never forced to take a life.
Well, my first school that I went to in the Air Force was electronics, and I studied basic electronics, you know, resistors, capacitors, inductors, and motors, and you know, those sort of things. Learned things like Ohm's law and how to read schematics and calculate schematics and that sort of thing. And then I went to a program on nuclear weapons fusing, which was basically an application of the electronics. And then I went to bomb disposal school, which was a lot to do with chemistry, the chemical makeup of explosives, the mechanism by which bombs and explosive devices function in order to be able to render those safely. I did that in a time in my life which may not apply to you here, but it was a time in my life during the Vietnam War when I really was questioning the United States being in war in a foreign country that basically was a civil war. And I really had some questions about that. And I didn't want to get into, I wanted to get into a different career field because the one I was in was rather boring. But I didn't want to get into one where I would be put in a position that I had to take the life of other people. And EOD, or bomb disposal, appeared to me to be attractive in the sense that what you were doing was saving lives and property, not only of your colleagues in uniform, but also of civilians, to try to keep these bombs from blowing up and killing innocent people as well as the enemy. So that's what I did. I enjoyed doing it.
And how has the work ethic that you developed in the Air Force, how did that help you, I guess, in college and then in later life?
Right. That's a good question. I think the main thing that like I said earlier, that you learn in the military is that the expectation is that you will fulfill your assignment in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. Carrying that expectation and that ethic, or that study ethic and work ethic, on into my studies in college, both in community college as well as upper division at University of Florida, I think made me realize that college was serious, and your purpose for being there was to learn as much as you possibly could, and not only to learn and be able to pass the test, but to be able to actually digest the material so that it became part of your thinking, not just part of your ability to repeat it, if you will. I think the same thing applied in life after, when I went into being an engineer. I still had to do a lot of studying. I still had to do a lot of learning on how to apply the engineering that I had learned. You don't just walk out of the school knowing everything, but you walk out of the school having learned a lot of academics. And so you learn to apply those academics to real life. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you're faced with, as they say in, what is it, seventh grade, word problems. Except those word problems are real people and real situations, like designing power plants.
So, back on track, he's out of college, finally, and has a career in engineering. He wants a job, but isn't quite sure what to do. Then, an earthquake hits Guatemala, displacing millions of people and getting him started on the next part of his life. He decides to become a missionary.
The main thing that I went to do was help in the construction of a large school, and I wound up being the general manager for a large mission organization in Guatemala, which required me to use some of the same skills I had learned in the military as well as an engineer in management. And there's a lot to do in engineering that you would call management.
What were some of the decisions you had to make? You know, what kind of drove your decision to go there? What sort of things did you have to consider leaving behind in Florida?
Yeah, it's funny because I don't remember really considering leaving anything behind. So when we applied and were accepted to go to Guatemala, I really didn't think about leaving anything behind. We had a nice home, two great kids, good schools, but we were looking forward to where we were going more than ever looking back at what we were leaving.
After things settled in Guatemala, his life slowed down. He stayed there, watched his kids grow up, and now he's moved to New Jersey, where his old Guatemalan friends come to visit him. To finish up the piece, I want you to hear his answer when I asked him how he'd managed to keep going when college seemed impossible.
I think one of the biggest parts of my life that really was important to make the transition from a kid who almost didn't graduate from high school to a young man who eventually graduated as an electrical engineer, I think was the woman I married. Your grandmother was an extremely important part of my life. And without really going detail by detail or point by point, I think the main thing that she always accomplished in my life was encouraging. She always made me feel like no matter what I set out to do, I could do it with her support, with her backing. Yeah, you can do it. And it was just, I don't know how. I mean, it wasn't like she told me every night or every morning, get up and get going because I know you can do it. It was just a matter of having her with me, beside me, working to support our family while I went through college. 5 years of college and 3.5 years, I didn't have an awful lot of time. I did do some part-time work, but she supported us. And with the GI Bill, we were able to live a decent life for those 3.5 years. She never complained about doing any of that. She always just, it was just part of the task before us. It's what we did together. And it was a very quiet, supporting encouragement. And I think as we meet people, as we see people, you never know where they are, but I think that it's so important that we always be an encourager to other people. And I don't know where you put that in there, but I think that's the cornerstone. She's the cornerstone of where my life turned around.